Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came, who is with us now in word and sacrament, and who shall soon return at the end of time. Amen. The words that we want to think about especially tonight are the first couple of verses of the lesson from Jeremiah chapter 33, beginning at verse 14. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. So far, our text, and we pray. Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit upon your church to sanctify us, to set us apart from this world, to bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, we wait. We reflect on our own thoughts. We replay our words. We review our deeds in the light of God's holy and perfect law. And we know our sins. Patiently, we wait. We wait like the Israelites of old. For thousands of years, they waited for the coming of the Lord, our righteousness. They waited for God to make good on his promise. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. They waited for the love from God that they did not deserve. And we wait on that too. Because the grace of God can never come too quickly to us. Never comes quick enough. But they waited for what had not yet happened. They waited for the righteous branch to sprout from David's line. They waited for the Nazarene. That's what the word means in Hebrew, the sprout or the shoot. They waited for great David's greater son. They waited for the one who was before Abraham, the great I Am. Eagerly, they searched the scriptures. And they watched the events unfolding in the world around them. They looked for him intently. They searched for him. And yet they also knew, as do we, that they would not find him. He would come to them. They knew that they could not make him conform to their ideas about when he should come or how he should come. He would come on his own terms. They had no hold on him. They were sinners, as are we. They knew that their very being was corrupt and decaying. They would have agreed with Luther's assessment of our condition. In his very Lutheran way, he said, we are maggot-infested bone bags, ugly and disgusting in the sight of him who is perfect and radiant in heaven above, who never changes, who never decays, who never sins, who never compromises, yet always loves and always does what is needed for us. As the years passed, many of those Israelites forgot. They forgot what they were waiting for. They forgot to pay attention to the promises of the Lord, and so with each passing generation, more and more forgot the love of God and the words that he had spoken to their forefathers to give them comfort and joy at the coming of the Lord. They forgot. Many drifted away from the truth, and yet for the faithful remnant of Israel, those who held on to those promises that God had given, held on for dear life, for them, they anticipated with joy the fulfillment of God's promises of mercy. And when Jesus came, when he appeared beneath that dark sky in the stable there in Bethlehem, when the angelic stars descended to sing that great song of praise and to wonder about that child who was in fact God wrapped in swaddling clothes, when he came, there was joy, purest joy in Israel. Did not those believing shepherds go in faith to see what had happened? Were not the Christian Gentiles, the wise men, already on their way from that distant land in the east? Did not Simeon sing for joy just 8 days later? Did not the Savior of mankind begin his earthly journey right then and there, heading for that cross on purpose, heading to that tomb for us to save us from our sins and from our death, to take away our guilt and to take away our shame and to take away the reproach of Israel? Have we not sung the song of the angels ever since? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And have we not made many new songs of joy unto the Lord? We wait with that same spirit of joy, and yet our waiting is not for the appearing of God in the flesh. We don't wait for him to do the righteous work of salvation for us. He's already done that. That's an accomplished fact, and nothing can ever change that. Our joy is greater than the joy of the Israelites, inasmuch as the certainty of prophecy has now become for us the certainty of history. We know the Lord, our righteousness. We know who he was, Jesus from Nazareth. We know who his father and mother were. His earthly father, his stepfather, if you will, was Joseph, and his mother was Mary. We know that Joseph was a carpenter. We know many things about Jesus that the people of the Old Testament really wished to know, but never were given to know by God. And more than that, our Lord and Savior spoke. He spoke words that have been recorded for us in the pages of Scripture so that we hear him speaking. This is not the voice of prophecy, but the voice of the Lord himself, the Word of God incarnate for us. We know him. We know his sacrifice. Every year we look back at what he did for us, and we think about season upon season, in its endless cycle, there to remind us of all the things that he did for us each and every year so that we never forget them. We know his pain. We think about it every time we come here. and look upon our cross and see what he must have gone through, just a little of it anyway. And every Sunday, do we not come here to hear of his triumph over that pain, over that suffering, over his death, over our sin, the triumph of everlasting life breaking forth from the tomb on Easter morning? My goodness, what joy we know. And we have heard his promises to us. We still wait. We wait like the Israelites, but it's a little different because now we are waiting for him to return in great glory. Did he not say, at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory? Yet our waiting is different. The Israelites were kept separate from the rest of the world by the laws that God had given them, the restrictions on their diet and the way they were to worship and who they were to marry, all of those many regulations that were given to them to keep them separate so that they might be for the whole world a picture of what was coming. They were to offer sacrifices. They were to build the temple. All of those things they did were pictures of the coming Savior of the world, pictures of what was to happen at Calvary, pictures of the Holy Christian Church. We know that the picture in the blood of the sacrifice was fulfilled once and for all, so that we no longer need to bring sacrifices according to that old regulation. For our once and for all sacrifice was offered up on the cross and has paid for the sins, not just of one family, but for the whole world. We're not the image of things to come, as the Israelites were, but rather we are the fulfillment of his promise to make us his people, his dearly beloved children. And he himself has sent us out while we are waiting for his promises to be fulfilled. He himself has sent us out saying, go and preach the good news to all creation. Didn't the angels who were there at Christ's ascension say to the apostles, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. We don't stand around looking up into the sky waiting for Jesus to return. We know that he will. No, instead, the Lord has given us something to do while we wait. Not to win our salvation, of course not, but to bring others the good gift that he has brought to us through other Christians. He gave his church this commission, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So do we wait alone? No, we don't. Christ himself is with us. Do we wait alone? No. We are with each other, the family of God, bringing the good news to the nations around us. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. We know what happened on Pentecost Day. The Lord himself sent the Holy Spirit among us to be with us, and he makes our joy inexpressible, our purpose clear. He makes for us a time of joy and a time of purpose. And he gives us the words of eternal life to be our words to give to others. Advent is a time of waiting. But don't wait like the world waits for things. You're a Christian. You've heard his word. You know his goodness. You know the joy of the Lord. You know him to be your righteousness personally. You know that your sins are taken away. You hear it every Sunday that you are forgiven, not just some, but all of your sins. Whenever you look back upon your baptism and think about those cleansing waters, you know that your sins are washed away. Live in that joy. Live in that anticipation. We're awaiting the arrival of our King, our righteousness. And what a joyous day it will be when we see that cloud of his glory descending. We are busy about his work and his word, preparing this world for his return. We're not out there preaching a message of gloom and doom, but one of great joy, good news, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. We're busy about that work, inviting people to come to this festival that we have ongoing in our church, week after week, inviting them to come not just to the feasts that we have in our fellowship hall, but the feast that goes on from now into eternity in that great banquet of heaven. May your Advent be blessed with that kind of joy and that kind of waiting. And may you make use of every opportunity to share with others that wondrous, joyful anticipation that you have, that our Lord has come and that he is returning, and that we have a Savior who is our righteousness. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.